the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Jesus said to Jairus, "Do not be afraid, only believe." Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Today we consider what it means to believe in Jesus, both in life and in death. The summer months are called the non-festival half of the church year. During this time, we look at the miracles of Jesus, many of them, and their significance. The miracles are signposts that point us to Jesus, who he is, why he came, what he does, and how he changes our lives. So today, I ask you, do you wonder if Jesus is hearing your prayers? Secondly, do you see Jesus answering your prayers? A third question, are you afraid to die? A fourth question, can you heed Jesus' words to not be afraid and just believe? We are called forth, like Paul said, to excel in the grace of giving because our Lord Jesus Christ gave his very lifeblood for us. And we will briefly speak, too, about how we, as Lutheran Christians, respond to the Supreme Court decision on marriage this past week so that in life and death we can be true and faithful to the Word of God alone. So first, how do we believe that Jesus hears our prayers? Jesus crossed on the boat to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, and by the sea there was a great crowd. Jairus was the synagogue ruler. He was a prominent man, but he humbles himself. This great man in the city falls at Jesus' feet like he's a servant. Why? He earnestly implores for his little daughter. "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come lay your hands on her so she may be well and live." Many of you are fathers and mothers, and you love your children. And you understand this man. It didn't matter to him that he was a prominent synagogue ruler. On behalf of his little girl, he fell on his face before the feet of Jesus to implore him to save the life of this little girl, his daughter, whom he dearly loved. He believed that Jesus was hearing his prayer. Do you believe that Jesus is hearing your prayers? What have you been praying about? Your family? Your marriage? Your job or your lack of a job? Your children? Your parents? Your own health? Your own personal struggles? Your depression? Your anger? Your joy or your sorrow? Your happiness or your desperation? You are praying about something, and so am I. Do you believe that Jesus hears that prayer? He does. Because he is the intercessor between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. He shares our flesh and blood. He hears every prayer that you pray, whether it is through tears or through joy. Jesus hears your prayers. Secondly, do you believe that Jesus can answer those prayers? Jesus continues on, and now a woman in the crowd comes up behind him. It's such a large crowd that people are pressing on him. The little girl was 12 years old, who was about to die. This woman had suffered for 12 years from this flow of blood. The physicians couldn't figure it out. She spent all her money, and she was worse. So when she hears the reports about Jesus and believes that he can help her, she has an amazing faith. She thinks, "I'm not worthy to come before him. If I can just come from behind and touch his garments, I will be healed." And she does. And as soon as she touches the garments, the power leaves Jesus' body and she immediately is healed of her disease. The blood stopped. Can you imagine her joy after suffering for 12 years and it stopped? Jesus perceived that power has gone out of him. So when he says, "Who touched me?" the disciples are astonished. All these people are pressing on you and you're asking who touched you? Everybody is touching you, Jesus. But he said, "No, power has gone out from me." Now the woman, in fear and trembling, just like Jairus, she too falls at Jesus' feet and tells him the whole truth, exactly what she had done. But the reason Jesus wanted to know who she was is he wanted to compliment her faith. "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." She believed that Jesus could answer her prayer even if she just touched his garment. Such was her faith. She went in peace and she was healed. Do you believe that Jesus can answer your prayers? Where have you seen Jesus' answers to your prayers? Now it is true, the Lord's going to answer either yes or no or not yet. Because we always ask that God's will be done, and it's always the best. And he may have something better planned for you. He's answering it according to his own will, which is always the best for you. Have you been praying that you have a better marriage? Have you been praying that you might recover from a sickness or get a better job? Has your situation changed and you need direction? Do you have a relationship that needs to be healed because you want to be friends with that person again? Whatever you're praying, Jesus will answer your prayer. Never doubt that. Hold on to him in faith. Pray with boldness and confidence, and he will answer according to his will in his own time. And it will always be that which is best for you, like it was for this woman and what it will be here for Jairus' daughter. Believe that Jesus hears your prayers. Believe that Jesus answers your prayers. And believe that Jesus will raise your body too on the last day. Jairus' daughter, who was so ill and sick, apparently had died. And so the people came from Jairus' house and said, "Why bother the teacher anymore? Your daughter's dead now." And Jesus says, "Don't fear, only believe." And so Jesus only takes Peter, James, and John and the mother and father of the child into the house. He hears all the commotion and wailing and says, "The child is just asleep." As far as Jesus is concerned, when we die, we just fall asleep in him. It's nothing to be afraid of, but they laugh and mock Jesus for saying this. But he puts them all out, and with the parents and his three disciples, puts his hand on the little girl and says, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." She got up. She began walking around, and Jesus says, "Give her something to eat." You see, Jesus is aware of our needs for our body and soul. Jesus raises this little girl from death to life, as he would later raise Lazarus from the dead. And then, of course, our Lord Jesus Christ himself will be raised on the third day as the resurrection and the life. You see, your body too will be raised. All of us are going to die. Some of us might die in a car accident. Others might be ravaged by cancer. Others might die in their bed of old age. Some of us might not live past 35. But it does not matter. Jesus has defeated death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Your body will be raised on the last day. You can be sure of this. When was the last time that you were at a funeral or at a graveside and saw the casket? You see, we end up as mortals in the grave, but Christ brings us immortality. Our bodies may get weaker as we age, but our bodies will be raised incorruptible, Christ says. Jesus will raise your body on the last day. When you die, your soul goes to be with Jesus immediately in heaven. You fall asleep in Christ, and on the last day, He will raise your body. The blind will see, the lame will walk, the deaf will hear. No mourning, no crying, the old things have passed away. He will make all things new. So believe that Jesus hears your prayers. Believe that He answers your prayers. Believe that He will raise you on the last day. And believe, as St. Paul said, in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that we can excel in the gift of giving our time and talent and treasures grace with the grace of giving with a cheerful heart because Jesus laid down His life for us. See, all of this which Christ does for us is summarized in one of my favorite Bible passages that was in the epistle lesson. And it summarizes everything Jesus did, including these two miracles. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who was rich became poor for you so that by His poverty you might become rich. He was rich. He made the universe. He's true God along with the Father, but He became poor. He humbled Himself to be born of a virgin. He allowed the soldiers to nail Him cruelly to the cross. He bled real blood for you. And the blood of Jesus Christ has taken away the sin of the world and has taken your sins away. But through that poverty now, we have become rich. Did you know Christians are the richest people on the planet? Has nothing to do with money. It has to do with the treasures of the righteousness of Christ. Christ is our greatest treasure, His righteousness earned for you in the cross and guaranteed in His resurrection from the dead is placed over you by faith. When you believe in Him, His righteousness is credited to you. When you are baptized in Him, the royal robe of righteousness is placed upon you. When you receive Holy Communion, His body and blood is for you, for the forgiveness of sins and life and salvation. We are the wealthiest people on earth as Christians because we have the greatest treasure of all, Jesus Christ and His righteousness. Because of that, we have the grace of giving in faith and speech and knowledge and earnestness. We can ever give ourselves first to the Lord and then to one another of our own free will, for God loves a cheerful giver. As faithful Christians, we must be faithful to the Word of God when it comes to the sanctity of marriage. Something has happened this weekend that is very similar to what happened in 1973 when the Supreme Court allowed abortion as legal. The Word of God is the ultimate authority. The Word of man, when it opposes the Word of God, is wrong. So the Supreme Court was wrong in 1973 to say it's okay to murder babies in the womb because the Word of God says those are children that I created who are precious and have the right to life. The Supreme Court was wrong what they did this weekend to saying that same-sex people can be married and that can be considered a marriage. That is contrary to the Word of God. Jesus Himself said He made them male and female, and the two shall become one flesh. God created marriage. God defines marriage, and so the Supreme Court is wrong. Who knows what we as Christians will face in the future as we stand up for the sanctity of marriage of a man and a woman only. And that is why I ask you to read the sheets we're sending home to you today, the first page from Dr. Harrison, the president of the Missouri Synod, and the second page from Dr. Scare, our former vicar, about the sanctity of marriage. And you know what is so beautiful about how we focus as Lutherans on anything that happens? It's always a matter of both the law and the gospel. This is a wrong thing that has been decided. Our country must be called to repentance for it. On the other hand, we proclaim gospel, the forgiveness of sins to those who repent. But we will never bend to the laws of men when the Word of God stands supreme. Let us ever hold fast to the sanctity of marriage as God has created it. No matter what this world holds to, we hold to the Word of the eternal God, our Creator, our Redeemer, and our Sanctifier. God, guide us in the future, whatever we might face as faithful Christians in the future. We have no fear, because the Lord is our confidence and our strength. So, my friends, heed the words of Jesus. Don't be afraid, just believe. Believe that Jesus hears your prayers. Believe that He answers your prayers. Believe that He will raise you on the last day. Believe through faith and generosity in our Lord Jesus Christ, who laid down His life for us. And may we be steadfast. May we be faithful to the Word of God. And believe in Jesus, both in life and death, to the glory of His name alone. Amen. May the peace that surpasses our human understanding keep our hearts and our minds in faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.